Hey, real quick before we get started, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group if you haven't done so yet. We have monthly live trainings going on there. There's an opportunity for you to join in the conversation instead of just listening to what I have to say on this podcast, as well as the people that I bring on. And it's a really cool place to join about 6,000 other clinicians that are honestly trying to change the landscape of our profession through these cash and hybrid practices. One other thing that's really cool is we have a guide in there that's a quick start guide. When you join, you can go and check this out. There's about 7 videos that we've curated that are the most common questions we get and the best case studies that we've found to really help you start, grow, and scale your practice up to 7 figures. So if you haven't done so yet, head to Facebook, request to join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. You have to be a clinician. We're going to check you out. We don't just let anybody in. But if you are, head there, go ahead, get signed up. We'd love to have the conversation with you in that group. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, everybody? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today I am introing a training that my two business partners, Eve Gigi and Jared Moon, did in our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. And this training was on productivity hacks to stay focused and get more done. Now, I wasn't on this one because I was actually working with our team on something separate at the time. But to be fair, These are the two people that are far better at talking about productivity and staying focused than I am. Both Eve and Jared, they are incredibly good at staying on task and really focusing on detail work that runs the back end of a business. This is something that as a business owner, you really have to either be good at and or hire somebody or partner with somebody in your business to really help you focus on the detailed work, the operation side of things, the implementation and follow through of everything. If you're somebody like myself, who's maybe a little bit more visionary and enjoys the creative process a bit more, this is something that for me, it has made a huge difference having people like even Jared be able to do what they do really well. So I highly recommend listening to this one. It'll give you some really detailed tactical things you can start working on to make your day more effective, more focused. And what you have to think about is, you know, if you can improve your efficiency of the work that you're doing by even a couple percent each day, and then you do that each day for the next 365 days, for the whole year, you know, the amount of important work that you'll actually get done, the amount of focused work, the amount of momentum you'll gain from that will be enormous. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but the compounding effect of a couple percent per day is actually massive over the course of even 1 year. Imagine 10 years of doing that. So hope you enjoy this one. If you're not a member yet, please go over to PT Entrepreneurs group in Facebook. Go ahead and request to join. We'll make sure you're a clinician. We'll get you in there with about 6,500 other clinicians. And enjoy this one, apply it, and stay focused.
We're live. Here we are.
Floor is yours.
Awesome. Well, I think we should start with an intro. I think I haven't been in this group that much. Maybe if you poke around some older videos, but, I'm Jared Moon. I'm one of the partners here. And we're going to be going over productivity, conquering procrastination, sharpening your focus, all those kind of things today, because it comes up a lot. So sometimes it's just a matter of getting things done. But I know a lot of the people we work with, they work really hard, and they, especially like the new business owners, they have so much going on already, like between their lives, typically have a job, trying to start a side hustle. So sometimes it's not working more, it's finding out leverage or what the most important tasks are. I think that's a common thing. Like anybody can work hard, anybody can try hard, but trying harder would be like, okay, well, I'm gonna try to find the tasks that are of most value and that will move me along the furthest. So we'll jump right in. I want to start by asking you, man, you juggle a lot. I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on. Like, how do you manage it? Do you have a time management system productivity system, a running task list that just stresses you the hell out? Like, what's your strategy for how much you're trying to juggle?
Yeah. I thought the other day, cause like I said, I was doing a talk and I was like, man, here are all the things that I'm managing. And it's probably 6 to 7 companies, no lie, that I'm all trying to put together at once. And so, I mean, a lot of stuff, frankly, I learned from you and I learned from like us spending time together and adding to some of the things I did before. In the beginning, I feel like level one was just a to-do list, you know, and I was just like marking things off those lists. And then I got even better at it. And I started creating like, let's call it urgent and important, right? We've all heard that, yeah. Right? And like creating, like, okay, these things I need to do now. These are things that are important, but I need to become secondary. And then let's call it phase three. Again, this was specifically for you. I added goal setting, which was a game changer for me. And then I added time blocking, which I kind of learned from you and Tim Ferriss and like this idea of batching tasks. And that ultimately is like, you know, there's another new layer to this, but that was, I think, putting all of that together allowed me to stay focused, get actual work done, not just busy work like you talked about. And it allowed me to make sure I was working on the right tasks that actually move things forward.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing I see people doing is the busy work tasks. I find myself doing it. If I'm not operating off of a goal, if I'm not trying to accomplish a goal and you just put me in a business, I will make sure I'm busy every second of the day. But is it things that I should be working on? So I shared my productivity system on my own podcast. It's called the Better Human Business Podcast. If anyone wants to check it out, I talk about a lot of these kind of things. It's just like short, like 5-minute podcasts. But I'm going to share that, my strategy. I learned this in pilot training when I was in pilot training in the Air Force. So quick little story time. I'll go over the how it came about and how I use it today. But in pilot training, you're at an Air Force base, right? You're at a base. And when you're on this base, there is a tower, like people are accustomed to at an airport, but that tower is typically doing more important things. Like they're directing real like traffic, not that student pilot traffic's not important, but it's crazy. If an airport for student pilots is like a beehive, because there's just so many student pilots flying and doing so many different things that the tower honestly doesn't want to deal with all of these like smaller flights. Cause all we're doing is flying out, doing something in the training area and then coming back. So what they have on the runway are called RSUs. They're called runway supervisory units. And they actually shove typically 1 to 2 senior pilots in there and then 3 to 4 student pilots in there. And what these runway supervisory units do, RSUs, is they actually control the traffic for the runway that they're on. So it's not the tower anymore. It could just be like a 22-year-old kid in there, which was me at the time directing traffic. And it really helps you learn communication. It helps you multitask. It was really like an amazing skill for me. I didn't realize how much I was picking up when I was doing it, but like I could honestly have a conversation with you like I am now, but also be listening for other people in the pattern and still hear them. Like I got really good at like being able to do those things. But the simple tasks that they teach you, you would think like this is advanced pilot training. They'd have all these like computer systems and all this crap, and they don't. They have a sheet of paper with a bunch of blanks. And so you sit down, like say you're there at the start of the day and someone takes off and they're, you know, they typically say their call sign. So they'll be like Raptor 2-4, they're taking off, they take off. I write down Raptor 2-4. I write it down on the sheet of paper, right? And that's all I do. I write it down. And then once they make contact, when they're done, they've done their training, all that stuff, they make contact. They have to make contact pretty far out because I have to plan for it in the pattern. And so they make contact. They'll say something like Raptor 2-4 coming back, you know, something along those lines. And then when they make contact for the first time, I already have Raptor 2-4 on the sheet. I put a dash. And that dash just means they've made contact with me. So dash, contact. And then once they actually get in the pattern, they'll have another call, you know, something of the pattern. They'll tell us what they're going to do in the pattern, whatever. But once they are actually in the pattern, and if you're not familiar with aviation, the pattern is just like what you fly over the airport. So it's like each airport has a very specific designation of how you fly, but typically you're just doing like left turns or right turns until you land. And so once they're in the pattern, you do a vertical line over the horizontal line. So you have the dash when they make contact, and then the vertical line to make a plus sign when they are actually in the pattern. So now I know I see Raptor 2-4. If it's a dash, I know he's coming. If it's a plus, I know he's in the pattern. And then once he lands, there's the final call that he's getting off the runway. I circle it. So I circle the plus sign. And at the end of the day, when I'm done, and there's going to be like 100 of these people, what I'm looking for are all the names, and everyone has a plus and a circle, because I don't want to leave someone out in the pattern, because you could do that. There's no tower tracking them or whatever. They could just be out there. They have no one to call them in or anything. They're just like, oh shit, I think that, I hope the runway's clear because I'm landing. You know what I mean? That's the situation you'd be in. So how does that translate to anything I'm doing today? Well, that's exactly what I do now, is like, I keep a running list almost four different ways. It's really just those three. But if you tell me something, like we're in a meeting and you mentioned something, it sounds like I have to do it, I'll write it down, right? And then it goes into the dash section. So it's like, it's made contact, but it's not a part of my bandwidth yet. It's not a part of the pattern. It's not landed, like nothing like that. So I just make a dash list of all these things. And I have a way that I do this on my computer as well. And so they're dashed. Now, once I sit down to start planning, I start looking at like, okay, how many of these need to go from dashes to plus? So a plus is in the pattern. For me, that means working. Like I will now work these things, and I'm cross-referencing it across the things that we've talked about. Eve said, do X, Y, and Z in our last meeting. And I'll look and I'll be like, does this have anything to do with my goals, our goals, or is it just a random idea? Random idea is going to stay out here just as something that's made contact, kind of like a, maybe one day if we have time, whatever. If it's like, no, that's really important, that deserves my time and attention now, I'm moving that over to the plus sign. So now that's getting done typically this week, once it, for me, in that plus pattern. And then once it's done, easy enough, plus, it's a plus sign with a circle, and I'm done. That's obviously, you just put that in the done bin. But that transition from dash to plus sign is the most important one, because you can be handed 1,000 dashes from your spouse, from your kids, from business partners, from coworkers, doesn't matter. You could end up, I mean, honestly, between all the meetings and everything else, I probably have like 30 dashes I could add a day. But then I go through and I see which one of these actually need to become a plus. And my lens is like, what are my goals? And is this important? And then that's where you start to make a little bit more of those leveraged decisions of like, should I keep moving? Is this really worth my time or not? So sorry, really long-winded, but that's my basic productivity system I've been using for a really long time.
Interesting. Now that you say that, I have something very similar. I actually use monday.com for it. And I basically have a different board. We'll call it to-do list for every, you know, company I'm a part of, you know, and this is mainly for PT biz because I'm doing more active stuff there, but I have a list of things that like I need to do. And that's in the, like, we'll call it the working section. I have a queue section. So those are things that like could be important at some point, but we're not sure. And then I have like, I could get to, these are like brainstorming and some ideas. And, you know, I'm moving things back and forth between those, adding things all the time. And then, and within the top section, to do section, I've got like important, the things that are red. So it's literally just like redlined. And those are things that I know I need to knock off now and do, right? Like, and so my eyes will always kind of go to that until those things are completed. And hopefully there's not a lot of red there often, right? Like sometimes it's worse than others. Like, you know, recently there was a lot of red, and it's so much easier too, because you have an at a glance system of knowing kind of where you need to be, like productivity wise too, right? Like, I think that's the benefit of organizing it this way and creating systems, is that like, I kind of always know, like, not necessarily how hard I need to work, but like, I know kind of the urgency behind the things I need to do, you know, and it just allows me to just at a glance, be organized and go to work and not spend the next 3 hours organizing my day so I can actually go get one thing done. I can just go get to work as soon as possible. And that's really important to me, because I've realized if I don't have like a clean space or I don't feel organized, it's very difficult for me to get work done. So if I'm organized, I'm systematic, things are in their place, my productivity level goes up quite a bit, right? Like, maybe there's people that thrive in chaos. I am not one of those people. Like, you know, I've had to learn some of that with kids and a family for sure, right? Like the way my apartment used to look like, the way my house, a little bit different, right? But like my workspace, if you look around where I work, it's very organized. And like, I think that also reflects of our systems kind of need to be that way.
Yeah. Well, and here's what used to happen for me when I would do it. You're talking about like organization. Is it anytime I would try a productivity system, I would end up with too many of those, like the dash sections. And so I would end up abandoning productivity systems because I'd end up with a list, honestly, of like 400 things. And I'd be like, well, I'm somehow making progress and I have, but I still have this like ridiculous list. And so I used to abandon them, you know, years ago, I'd be like, screw this. Like, I don't want to look at a list of 1,000 things that I'm never going to do. So there are two more layers I want to add to that. And so the first one is Fridays, and I'll do it today. I will look at this list and I will delete, happily delete, because I don't like a long list of things. Even if I think it's a good idea or someone mentioned I should do something, I'll just be like, I don't know. And so I'll just delete it and see if it comes back up. Like maybe it was just an idea of mine. I had an idea for something, but I'm like, I'm not 100% sure this idea will move the company forward or it's most important. So I'm just going to delete it, not put it somewhere else. I'm okay with a hard delete. I don't want to see it again. So I'll delete it. Now, the second layer I'll add is if you're not very good at prioritizing what's most important, is simple exercise. Let's just say, and you can put whatever time limit you want on it, but if you have a list of 15 things to do, and let's pretend I only gave you 2 hours a day to work. Every single day, you had 2 hours. Other than that, you weren't allowed to work. What would you do? And I know that's so simple, but we don't think that way in terms. Sometimes people like to be like, I'm going to do the easiest task first or like whatever. Like, no, just think of if I only had 1 hour or 2 hours or 30 minutes, what would I work on if I could only allot that much time to it? And you're going to quickly prioritize this list to like, well, this is obviously the most important. I have to get that done. And once you're thinking that way, like I don't think that way anymore. I don't like put myself through that exercise. I'm just kind of always thinking that way. I'm like, useless. Don't need to do it. Like whatever. I'm just always thinking like, okay, this is the biggest rock. I need to move that one. But if you have trouble with it, which I get that feedback sometimes, like, how do I know what not to do? It's like, well, if you can only do two things today, what are those two things going to be? And if you had to pick, like, oh, they're all important. I know they're all important, but you only get two. So what is it? Now you have to make hard decisions. And that's what part of being a, you know, good leader and good entrepreneur, you have to make those decisions.
Yeah. It's like you took the one thing framework, which we're obviously a big fan of, and made it kind of your own, right? Like, and created even more of a urgent lens beyond that by giving it basically a time domain too. So I love that. I've never even thought of that. I think that, you know, it's always frameworks and ways to like, you know, hack the system. I mean, I hate that word, but you're kind of doing that, right? You're creating a way to create urgency to make sure that you're making meaningful progress. You know, like that's kind of, I'm always putting things through that lens too, right? It's a little bit of different lens, but in managing multiple things, I have to realize that if I have an hour of time to work at EFT or hour of time to work at Made to Move, I need that hour to be the most effective hour I could possibly have in that company. So I'm constantly thinking about how can I make that hour extremely effective? What is my most meaningful task that will move this company forward? And it could be like, let's just take patient care, right? It's like when I was trying to pull out of patient care, I need to realize that seeing a patient for that hour was not as beneficial as managing my team and like getting them to learn some of the sales systems that we built in. Like that was super, super important. Continuity, those things were super important. So I think, you know, that's such a hard thing to pull yourself out of. And if you have a framework to kind of start every day and be like, yeah, what, you know, I forgot how you worded it, but like if I have 2 hours in a day and that's all I can do is work, what are the things that I need to do? And I think that it'd be super powerful for people. Like if you're just, you know, a W-2 employee right now and you're looking to get out into your side hustle, like you have 2 hours, you might even actually only have 2 hours in a week to really make meaningful progress. So if you're doing it through that lens, oh, cool, I need to do this. I think you can make, you know, huge gains as opposed to taking a year. All of a sudden now it could take a month to get a side hustle started, things like that.
Well, that's why I think, I mean, I started as a side hustler back in the day, you know, trying to get an online business going. And I think that honestly really helped me learn what was a priority task. Obviously the hard way, I had to learn, like if I spent, say I had 3 hours in the evenings pre-kids to do stuff, and I spent those 3 hours tweaking the colors on my website and stuff. And then I realized like, it's not really getting me more customers, right? Like you very quickly realize, like, if you're serious about this being your full-time job sometime in the future, you're going to have to start making more serious decisions. Like, what is it? And it's normally like customer communication, marketing, all the things that no one wants to do, the uncomfortable things. We had this conversation earlier, but like all the things that people don't want to do, those are probably the tasks that you have to start looking at that you need to do. You start killing a little bit of comfort. I just sneak it in there at some point.
Yeah, you did. It was great. It was a perfect segue. Yeah, I'm the systems guy or whatever. And like, that wasn't by, you know, which is like built that way. Do you know what I mean? I just realized really quickly that if I could build systems in my business and I spent time doing that on a regular basis, again, it would make meaningful progress. And so it was in the beginning, super uncomfortable to do those things, right? And eventually it came a lot more enjoyable and now I like it. But in the beginning, yeah, it wasn't, you know, fun to be like, all right, like, let me go back and look at every single patient and find a way to communicate with them on a regular basis and build that system. So one day somebody else can do that. Like, that stuff sucked. Like, I'd rather like go out and work out again. I would have rather of, yeah. It's so funny you say like change the colors on your website. Like, I know there's so many people out here that have done a task like that, probably for like an entire day and thought that they had like this awesome day, right? Like, they went in and they like changed the graphics on like a landing page, or they change the graphics on like they made a business card that took like 3 hours to make. Like, this is going to change everything. And you know, it's not, but you know, it feels productive. It feels nice, but you know, did it make a meaningful difference? Probably not.
Well, funny story. This is our story. The PT Biz story is, a lot of people probably won't remember this, but when we started, we basically didn't have a website. Like, physicaltherapybiz.com was a thing, but it was more of like a landing page and it wasn't very good. It was like, because everything else was built on the back end. Like, we had all these like marketing funnels and stuff on the back end. And I remember Danny, I think you would probably ask too, but I remember Danny asking me specifically, he'd be like, do we need like more of a website like that people can visit? And like, I'm like, nah, not right now. Like, I didn't have the time. I didn't have the time to build it, 'cause like, I was more full-time somewhere else at the time. And I knew we just needed more lead volume and like all those kind of things, right? And so I only focused on what was the most important, what I knew would drive us forward on what I was working on. And so like, I was like, we don't need that right now. And so it was like the first 2 years, we just didn't really have a website. We had a URL that led to somewhere, but we didn't truly have a website. And so all those things that you think are really important aren't as important as you think that they are. You really have to find out what the most important things are.
Yeah. And it is killing comfort. It's challenging yourself to do the meaningful task. I mean, another quote a lot of books, right? The War of Art is a really good one, right? Where like, I'll mow the lawn, I'll do the laundry, I'll do all these things before I actually do the thing that I know is probably the hardest thing to do today and the most meaningful tasks. So again, I think like, if you don't take anything away, I think that 2-hour framework is a great way to look at it to make sure that things are moving forward. The other thing I think is funny, and I want to circle back to it, is like deleting things at the end of the day. And I think that's great. I used to-
End of the week.
End of the week. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. End of the week. Well, I'm going to talk about end of the day. So sorry. Okay. That's why my brain got jumbled. So this is something where I used to have a lot of anxiety at the end of every day. And I realized like, because those to-do lists got really long, especially in the beginning, right? It's like 50, 60 things that I could do every day. And I never felt like I was chipping away at it, although I was being very productive and putting things away. And so what I realized, if I just spent 10 to 15 minutes at the end of my day to just prioritize what I was going to do the next day, right? And maybe delete a couple of things that weren't necessary, so much better the next day. So like a little mini life hack that, man, it helped so much to just know that tomorrow I knew exactly, like, just to feel, again, it's all about this organization, right? Like, to feel organized for the next day, as opposed to leaving things unfinished, everything's jumbled, you know, like that was a huge productivity hack for me, just to like maintain, I think, momentum and making sure every single time, you know, I do what you do. I just do it quarterly, which is I probably should do it weekly. Maybe I should do it monthly, but I go quarterly. I go in and clean things up, you know,
they kill my brain if they're just sitting around on my list. 'Cause I look at that list, the software I use is just up all day. It's just looking at, like, I'm just like staring at it. So when it's like really long, I'm like, I just get out of here. But, I do the same exact thing. So I actually spend like 30 minutes at the end of every day. It's funny. William, he's my oldest son, he saw my calendar sometime this week. And like, he just saw like just everything back to back. And he's like, do you do all that? Like you put all that on there? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, how long does that take? And I was like, it honestly takes me about 30 minutes a day. At the end of every day, I sit down, and it's not normally just planning the next day. It might be the rest of the week, or if like today, looking into next week and things, but you know, cause no day goes perfectly. It might be like, I wanted to get that done. 2 hours wasn't enough time. I have to overflow this task now to somewhere else. And I just have to keep doing that and playing with it. But yeah, and my answer to him was ultimately is like, yeah, if I don't spend those 30 minutes, that next day is horrible. And it's not like I'll have a bad day. I'll just get to the end of the day and be like, what would you do? And I did things all day, but I didn't do any of the things I really should have been doing. And though that's when I typically get frustrated, because it's easy for me to work on, yeah, like a side project or whatever, like, you know, like a new report I'm trying to pull that isn't actually going to move us forward. You know what I mean? But like, you spend 3 hours on that thing, you know, just trying to get the data there, like whatever. And then it's like, crap, that was the wrong task to be focusing on today.
For sure. And I, for years, and I believe other people struggle with this as well, I felt like if I had that kind of structure in my day, it would feel stifling, and it would feel like I couldn't be creative, like a whole bunch of really shitty excuses, you know? But what I realized is that I wasn't leaving anything up to chance. Do you know what I mean? Like, just the structure just made sure that when shit does hit the fan, like you said, you know what I mean? Like when shit goes wrong, like I now have this system to fall back on, which is absolutely huge, you know? And it's, again, it's all about, I keep coming back to it, but it's so top of mind for me. It's just like, it's making that meaningful progress on a regular basis. And I want to make sure that happens, even with the craziness of life, even with distractions, even with like, I want to make sure again, that I leave nothing up to chance. And that what I realize is like, everyone's heard of discipline equals freedom. You know what I mean? I've got this new thing. I feel like it's like, you know, block scheduling equals freedom, right? Or like structure equals freedom, because for me, it created more room in my life for all these other things. Like now I can work out more. Now I actually have more free time. Now, you know, I've made more meaningful, got better results in a lot of my businesses because of this structure. So, you know, if you're thinking about fighting and you're like, oh, I don't know, this is for me, I challenge you to try it for 90 days. And I bet you'll see huge differences.
Yeah. Here's a funny and small example of that in my personal life. So I realized not long ago, like, so I have three kids and they all have something. And so like normally multiple things after school, like sports and whatever, like normally two activities, Emily's doing something with one of the kids, I'm doing something with other one or two of the kids. And so we get back, it's normally around like 8 o'clock at night. And then at that point in time with our kids' ages, it's time to start getting ready for bed, eat something, get ready for bed, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I would always basically be pissed off when I would get home, like pissed off I wasn't sure why. It wasn't like the practice pissed me off, but like, it's because I would show up and then we'd have to like figure out dinner, right? Cause like everyone's been gone, you know? And so like, we didn't have a good plan for that. And then now I got to do the dishes, you know, if we cook something real quick and like clean up the kitchen. And now it's like, by the time I'm done with all that, it's like 9:30. And it's like, that's when I'm going to bed. Cause I normally wake up at like 5 to like work out or something like that. So I'm just pissed off because of how that went. But all it took to fix that whole problem was like 30 minutes of prep, right? Like somewhere during the day. And that was just to like, okay, what are we doing for dinner? Since none of us is going to be here to be able to like cook or do anything. It's like, okay, here's what we'll do. We either order this or we'll like put this in a crock pot, like whatever. Boom, that's done. You know, and then, okay, here we'll clean up the kitchen right after school. I'll have the kids like unload the dishwasher, do those kind of things. But anyway, I know that's like a very small thing, but like, I didn't realize even like why I was being pissed. I was pissed off. And it's just because lack of prep. I had to add more structure to get more freedom at the end of my day.
Love it. That's love it how that aligned. And I think what you can't underestimate, because this is also a time thing, which I think productivity and time makes a lot of sense. But I also think, which we don't talk a lot about, is energy, right? Like just the bandwidth to do these things. And I think the compound effect of that, you know, of that planning, you feeling better about it, you know what I mean? Like the compound effect of that happening downstream is absolutely huge. Like you'll just get, you're more excited for the next day, which makes you more productive, which will structure things even more. And then you'll be, you know, and I think just like that flywheel kind of going your way, like cannot be underestimated. Cause there'll be times when like, right, you can't plan those things. Like it's just like impossible, right? Or like, you know, you and Emily just can't chat, or me and Amy, same thing. Like it's just like chaos. Practice got canceled, move 30 minutes. Like that's inevitably going to happen, you know? And so, you know, but if I can keep that flywheel moving in a positive direction, it's yeah, it's a game changer.
Do you have feel that you have different energy throughout the week? Like, do you feel more energized like Monday? And then it's kind of like by Friday, you're pretty exhausted, or is every day about the same for you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think, I mean, we, the way we've done things at PT Biz, we like bookend the days, right? So like Mondays and Fridays are pretty darn intense. And so I've experienced a little bit of a wave where Mondays and Fridays are pretty darn exciting. That rolls into Tuesday. Usually by Wednesday midday, I need a little bit of a brain break. Like my brain's like, you need to just stop for a second. So I decrease energy land then. So Wednesday, Thursday are kind of deep work days where I have a little bit more freedom. If I need to go for a walk, I can do that. Friday, I kind of uptick again for a little bit of a spike. And then Saturday, Sunday, you know, I've got pretty good energy and I put a lot of that energy into my family. And Sunday, usually again, I need probably a half a day where it's like, can you just like not talk to me? I'm just going to, you know, go for a walk or go work out or go to the beach or watch some Netflix by myself. Like I need a little bit of time to myself. So I experience a little bit of a, for me, a little bit of a wave throughout the week. And it's also because our intensity level right now depends is really high. Sometimes it's definitely just steady. Right now it's like this, let's get a bunch of shit done. All right, cool. Recoup. Let's get a bunch of shit done. Okay. Recoup. That's just the season we're in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm normally, I feel like I've very similar pattern. Thursday is normally the day it hits me. I'm just like, yeah, I'm a little run down. Like a little, but then I perk back up by Friday, and then the weekends I'm pretty good at like cutting everything off, like all work stuff, so I don't have to focus on it as much.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I mean, we covered it all. Is there anything else that we should get into for productivity hacks, procrastination? No. Look, here at the end of the day, here's my message. What I wanted to originally title this, but we went the nicer route, was the fact that comfort is a prison. Right? Comfort is a prison that you've built for yourself. And it goes back to kind of what Eve was saying with his discipline equals freedom, is like, you think that all of the things that you're doing might be good for you, good for your mental health. And I'm all about mental health. You need to do that. I live a very balanced life, but I've also been a very hard charging entrepreneur at the same time. So I know it's possible. You just have to set rules and boundaries. And the only way you do that is milking every minute out of the day. And so when you think you deserve something, you deserve a break, or you deserve, you know, Netflix, or you deserve doom scrolling, or whatever you think that you deserve just because you had a tough day, just flip it for a second and try and look outside the situation and ask if you really deserve it based off of the goal that you're trying to achieve. Because I look at all the companies that I'm a part of and the goals that I've set independent of me and who I am. And so I look at it as, if there's like a goal, it's like, well, what does the goal deserve? If the goal was an entity in and of it by itself, like, does it deserve my rest right now? And will I be happier to have rested, or will I be happier to have worked and done the thing? And I'm not talking about, again, not burning it all to the ground, but I just think that it's so easy to look at distraction. And anytime, like, you can pull up anybody's phone right now and you can just say, show me your screen time. Like, how much screen time have you had today, this week, or whatever? And if it says you've averaged 4 hours a day this week, like, we're not even talking about you not achieving your goals. Like, I just don't even have a conversation about it, because like, what the hell? You're like, well, it's 4 hours. It's 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Doesn't matter. It's 4 hours. At the end of the day, it's 4 hours that you could have packed in somewhere and done it. And so we all have the time, and all these like little comfortable decisions we make, they end up building this little prison around us that we are unaware of. It's a prison that you're unaware of. And then you start to rely on those things, and you start to need those things, and you think that you deserve those things. But you'll get to the end of your life and you'll be like, wow, literally no one's coming to save me. There is no halftime coach who's going to be like, all right, Eve, you got to get your head out of your ass. Like, we got to fix this in the second half. This is what we're going to do. That person doesn't exist and they're not coming. You just have to do it for yourself. You have to save yourself. And if you don't make those decisions, make those commitments, make the hard choices, do the hard things, you're going to be in the exact same situation next year, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now. So try and realize how comfortable you actually are in a lot of the areas of your life and start seeing where you can get a little bit more uncomfortable.
Yeah. Love it. I think what I don't want, and we see it a lot, is people consuming content saying, oh, this makes a lot of sense, and then not taking action around it, right? Like, what you're doing when you're doom scrolling, what you're doing as far as your normal everyday, like, those are habits. Those are, you know, neurological connections that are be difficult to break. But the bottom line is, if you do want something better for yourself, you've got to break those connections, right? And you have to actually pick something and take action around it, right? And so if it's going through the framework Jared said, if it's scheduling out 2 to 3 hours to work on something every single week, just try to make some sort of meaningful difference and then find a way to make sure it happens every single week. Like, don't necessarily rely on just your sheer willpower. Like, build something that will make it almost 100% chance that it actually works. And that's what I want. I want these things to become habits for people, because that's what I see as the biggest change. The people that do really well, the people that build a business, grow and scale, they've got these just amazing productivity habits, and they just multiply them and they get stronger and they get bigger. And that's what I want for people. So hopefully some of this will resonate. It will lead into action, and see what comes of it.
Knowing is nothing. Implementation is everything. That's like, it's really, that's
how Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I don't know who said it, but I just said it now. Yeah, well, if you know something, like I talked to my friend about this the other day about meditation. When I was coming up in, like, it was just a personal development space, meditation was still like super weird topic. It was like, people didn't want to talk about it. You didn't want to admit that you did it. And like, it was very.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, it was just a weird phase, because some people thought it may have been like a religious thing, or like, they didn't really understand it. And so it was really weird. But now it's more commonplace, right? Most everyone realizes the power of meditation, how it can give you control over your brain, like give you better like neural connections. Like, you're talking about break bad habits. Like, it's super powerful, just as training your body is super powerful. You know, and so you know that, we know that, but people don't do that. They don't do that thing, right? Like, it only takes 10 or 15 minutes to meditate. Why not just do that instead of scrolling on Instagram or whatever? Because it's hard. I get it. But you'd be better off by doing the other thing as opposed to being on social media. But I think I'm on a rant now. I could just go all over the place, but I'm good. Like, I think, you know, conquer procrastination, sharpen your focus, take something that we said and do it.
Yeah. Love it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate, you know, you chiming in. If you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to ask.
Hey, Peach Entrepreneurs, we have big, exciting news, a new program that we just came out with that is our PT Biz part-time to full-time 5-day challenge. Over the course of 5 days, we get you crystal clear on exactly how much money you need to replace by getting you ultra clear on how much you're actually spending. We get you crystal clear on the number of people you're going to see and the average visit rate you're going to need to have in order to replace your income to be able to go full time. We go through 3 different strategies that you can take to go from part time to full time. You can pick the one that's the best for you based on your current situation. Then we share with you the sales and marketing systems that we use within our mastermind that you need to have as well if you want to go full time in your own practice. And then finally, we help you create a 1-page business plan. That's right, not these 15-day business plans. You want to take the Small Business Association, a 1-day business plan. It's going to help you get very clear on exactly what you need to do and when you're going to do it to take action. If you're interested in signing up for this challenge, it's totally free. Head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge. Get signed up there. Please enjoy. We put a lot of energy into this. It's totally free. It's something I think is going to help you tremendously as long as you're willing to do the work. If you're doing the work, you're getting information put down and getting yourself ready to take action in a very organized way, you will have success, which is what we want. So head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge and get signed up today.